Hey, kids, you're listening to a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
God damn it!
That's right, it's a Simpsons Podcast that discusses The Simpsons, but we only talk about seasons 11 and beyond. Because we feel there's a, you know, other podcasts out there that discuss the golden age. I think we're the only ones that talk about the modern age, as in the only ones that are also annoyed grunt boys and have particular names, such as me, annoyed grunt boy Craig. And we have another annoyed grunt boy.
That's right. It's Steve, your other half annoyed grunt boy.
Hey, welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
Let's full disclosure this, Steve, here. Let's go behind the curtain. When we record these intros, we record them pretty close to air date of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or record like a lot of the episode talk prior to this. And that's why we do the intros, to kind of like make sure we're in the same
headspace. Yeah, we're in the moment.
Timely, the moment, right. And I think it was kind of crazy. Last week's episode, Saga of Carl, we recorded the intro before the riots, I'll say the terrorism, domestic terrorism acts happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so our episode drops with the day after. I don't think anyone's here to listen to us talk politically, but I think it's more for you and I to just, you're hearing Steve and Craig talking about our views and our feelings in this segment. You know, I know we're about Simpsons, but this is just kind of us, you know, talking about the shit that we are doing, because we don't really talk outside of this podcast.
Yeah.
We grew up in the 80s. We're Gen Yers, or we're born like millennials, but also Gen X. Like we're
right on the cusp of Gen X. And like, I feel like Gen X was robbed from me, because growing up, I was told that it was like at the tail end of it.
Yeah.
And then something happened where I'm no longer Gen X. I'm now a millennial.
Right. I don't like being referred to as a millennial either. So
yeah,
it's funny, because we've lived through a couple of historic events. Like our parents had to deal with Vietnam, JFK assassination,
the Great Depression.
Well, your parents.
Yeah.
And Civil War one. No, but if you look at our lifetime, the Berlin Wall wasn't a huge effect on us, because I was 89 and we weren't really cognizant as human beings. We're children.
Right.
We cared more about The Simpsons than the Berlin Wall. That was a huge historic event. The one that I can remember the most for me was, I know, is it historic just remembering O.J. Simpson?
No, I was going to say, like, for me, I remember sitting on the couch with my dad watching the Berlin Wall fall and not really getting it, but just knowing that it was an important thing. But then the next big thing that I remember seeing on TV and being like, whoa, this is a big deal, is the OJ car chase.
Right. That, and then of course the, I think the bigger one would have been the Clinton Lewinsky scandal.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, very big. And then I think it would have been 9/11,
and don't forget the Columbine, and
right, the school shootings, which right, because we were still in high school when that happened.
Yeah.
I think 9/11, going back to Iraq, and I think from there, but I gotta say that what happened in DC, it's gonna go down as one of the craziest things.
They were doing it for nothing.
Right.
There's no proof. And I don't know what their end game was. Like, even if it wasn't violently breaking into a holy piece of, you know, government and, you know, killing people or having people be killed.
It just seems so weird that people are all about a single person when you're supposed to be about this country.
Yeah.
And yes, we've had Republican in our lifetimes. We've had Republican presidents. We've had Democrat presidents. Yes, I wasn't totally for Bush. I do lean towards the liberal side. And so, you know, when like Gore lost in 2000 and Kerry lost in 2004, I was like, well, you know what? We got to still get behind this this Bush fella.
Mm-hmm. Even
though we didn't like him. But you know what? He was never going to incite violence within the people that he's supposed to be the president of.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the craziest things is, like, in your opinion, we had crappy presidents. You know, it's a listener, of course. No one will ever be happy. There's never going to be the president we want. Heck, we're not even Biden people on this podcast.
Yeah.
We wanted Nelson from The Simpsons to be the president, you know? Yeah. It's just crazy that someone would do just incite the violence. This is what you guys have heard this all the time. I feel like we shouldn't be talking about this, because you'll probably want to get away from this kind of malarkey, as our future president would say.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that you've probably heard on other podcasts similar sentiments, but it can't go without saying how crazy and cuckoo bananas and bad this is that this thing that happened. And, you know, I hope that, you know, we can move on from it. And I feel bad for the kids 20 years from now who will have to like spend a day in history class learning about how a failed businessman who was a game show host of a reality show incited a bunch of dipshits to storm the Capitol because they didn't like that their guy lost.
Yeah, I think the image that gets to me the most is seeing the Confederate flag in the nation's capital.
Yeah.
It just proves that wars are never over, Steve.
Yeah.
Wars, epics, even sagas will never end. Hey, Steve, what are we watching this week?
Well, Craig, we're talking about the saga of Carl Carlson.
That aired in the good old year of 2013. On May 19th.
Oh, wow. That feels like so long ago. What was the number one movie in the box office?
Well, Steve, if you've listened to this podcast before,
which
or
I
even
have.
An eye off Springfield, we've talked a little bit about this franchise, a little franchise called Star Trek. And if you know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. So would I be delighted to know that the number one movie of that week was Star Trek Into Darkness?
One would think.
Yeah. And you know what? Fuck that movie. Do we have to do a whole other podcast about my hatred of Star Trek Into Darkness? But we don't have that kind of time. I've also grown to accept movies that I never liked. Like, I enjoy the Star Wars prequels now because I see them from a child's eyes, which was weird because I said, give me $20 for your eyes, and he gave them to me.
Thanks, mister. I'm going to buy a comic book. Aw.
No, but I'm at that. I've probably said it on the podcast before. I'm like, I'm not gonna hate or shit on anything anymore, except for apparently Simpsons episodes.
Sure,
we really don't really shit on anything on this podcast.
I feel like we mostly praise.
Yeah, we find out like things we don't care for, but we're not like, well, I mean, I would go back and say, I'd almost want to watch Scorpion's Tale again. Rock you like a hurricane. Just to see if it is as bad as we thought it was, but. We're not going to. But I just Star Trek Into Darkness. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Not into it.
How about music, Steve?
Well, Craig, on May 19th, 2013, we were all bopping to the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100, Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, featuring Ray Dalton. Return to the Mac, get up what it is, what it does, what it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Get up, first shot, come strut walking, a little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious, somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on, let that stage light go and shine on down. Bob Barker, Soup Game, and Plinko in my style. Money. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Steve, are you fans? I really don't know their work. I know this song and I know Thrift Shop, and they're fine. They're from Seattle.
Yeah, we'll give them a pass.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they're finally accepted into the pop culture community because of us.
Yes, you're welcome, Mr. Moore.
Well, thank you, Sahel.
You're welcome, Mackle.
Oh, right, yeah, Governor.
And you too, Ryan.
Keep us for breakfast.
Watch it, Ray Dalton. Alrighty.
Okay, fine. Hey, yeah, Saga of Carl. What the heck are we watching about?
So friendships are tested when Carl skips town with $200,000 winnings from a lottery ticket he bought with Homer, Moe, and Lenny.
All right, let's go ahead and watch that episode and come back and discuss.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be right back.
Stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds, but I do that to pass the torch and put on for my tail.
And we are back. Today we're talking about the Saga of Carl, the 21st episode of the 24th season. It originally aired on May 19th, 2013. It is episode 529 in the show's run. Your nerd code is RABF14. It was written by Eric Kaplan, directed by Chuck Sheets, and your director, or your showrunner that directs the director, is Al Jean.
All right, Eric Kaplan, we have not reviewed an episode that he has written yet until now. Because
okay.
This is the only one.
Oh.
Guess where he went to college, Steve?
Is it Kudger?
Unfortunately, it's not. It's Harvard.
Oh, boy.
When he was at Harvard, guess what publication he wrote for?
Probably not the Squash Times. That's where they write about, you know.
the vegetable?
Exactly.
The sport.
We got some new zucchinis in town.
Okay, well, I'll let you know. It was Harvard Lampoon.
The good old Lampoon.
He also was a intern for Spy Magazine.
Ooh.
You know, his duties included mopping the floors and writing blurb-length film reviews.
Wow.
Yeah. First television credit was a late show with David Letterman.
Ah.
And so when he was there, he heard about Futurama was going to be produced. So he got a job there and wrote a couple episodes of the Futurama.
Including Jurassic Bark.
The episode that everyone loves but doesn't want to watch again.
Exactly.
That is such a great episode, though.
Yeah.
And then he also wrote for Andy Richter Controls the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
How about Malcolm in the Middle?
Very good. Oh, the Drinky Crow Show. That was a weird show on Adult Swim that I used to love.
And he did an episode of Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. And Big Bang Theory.
Which he was a writer and executive producer for. So I think he knows his comedy.
Yeah. And he knows Big Bang Theory, too.
I'm not going to shame Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, they're all very rich. And
but here's the thing. Like, yeah, Big Bang Theory might not be your cup of tea, but so many people watch the show. So I guess we're the ones who aren't funny.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look at this.
What are you showing me?
Oh, just a picture of our podcast.
It's just a microphone. And it even has like Getty Images watermarks on it.
I know. But it's not funny, is it?
Kind of is.
I guess so.
Oh, wait, wait.
That's our appeal.
It says Bazinga.
Ah, damn it.
That's hilarious.
Ah, you got me again, Lori. Got me again.
All right. Enough about Eric Kaplan.
The Saga of Carl is the 21st episode, as I mentioned, of the 24th season, and it, alongside Dangers on a Train, were shown in an hour block for the season finale.
Was you think it aired, the commercial was like, the season finale of The Simpsons, 1 hour season finale. And like when you're a kid, like, there's a full 1 hour episode of The Simpsons?
Yeah, and then everyone was excited. And it's just
it was just a rerun and then a new episode.
It's two separate episodes.
Yeah, they probably did air like that. Or they said, the 1 hour season finale of The Simpsons. But all right, well, you know, there's a couch gag.
Really? Tell me more.
Only if you tell me what the chalkboard and a billboard gag were.
I would love to, but there isn't one or two or either.
All right. Well, there is a couch gag at least. So the Simpsons are underwater and they're turned into like some underwater creatures. We get Homer as like a blue tang.
Yeah, it's like Dory from Finding Dory.
Oh, yeah. And then Marge is an octopus?
Sure, why not?
Lisa's a seahorse. Hey, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie, a starfish. Well, that makes even more sense.
Yeah.
Bart as a clownfish. that's Nemo, right?
Yeah.
So the family swims to the coral reef sofa, but then they are swallowed by Blinky, the three-eyed fish. And he burps really loud.
Wow. So that inspired me to come up with a new character. It's this forgetful fish who gets really jacked and works out a bunch. He's called Hunky Dory. Hunky Dory.
All right.
So our episode proper begins, as it often does, with Homer on the couch enjoying a duff and watching some TV. This time he's watching women's tennis when his TiVo, or generic recording device, interrupts him.
It's been a brilliant day of women's tennis, with Petrikova narrowly edging Mashikova. We take you now to doubles action between Pavlyuchenko Vilnikova and Strakhova Mishdunupov Petrikova.
To me, it's legs versus boobs.
What the? Change the channel, but I'm watching soft core tennis.
Kia Karate Monsters!
What the hell is that?
It's her favorite show.
Mom said we could watch it.
Did she really say that?
Are you gonna walk upstairs and ask her?
No.
You ever watch some women's tennis, Craig?
Next question.
Okay.
Yeah, I love tennis.
Yeah, it's a great sport.
Yeah, the sport of kings, as they say.
Yes. Isn't that chess? Horse racing?
No, makes sense.
Actually, it should be chess. That makes more sense. Because there are kings.
Chess really a sport?
That's true.
Have you seen the Queen's Gambit, Steve?
No.
Are we only two people that haven't watched Queen's Gambit yet?
I think so. Unless there's a Cajun talking guy who can turn playing cards into explosives, I don't want to watch it.
I might get around to watching it.
Yeah, I might. I think Laura watched the first episode
It's supposed to be just kind of like nice and safe or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not too bleak or anything like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we get those little two kids of the Homer and Marge. Their names are Bart and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And their new favorite show is called Kiya, Karate Monsters. And the show begins. And we're introduced to the characters that use a homicidal honor to rampage for peace. We have
Kung Fu Werewolf,
Judo Mummy,
Taekwon Dracula,
Ninja from the Black Lagoon,
Blob Jitsu,
Franken Samurai,
Mixed Martial Medusa, who herself is a snake, which is confusing,
and Krav Magalum.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's good.
The kids excitedly shout, Kaya, as Homer is surprised that they no longer like Planet Jackson and the Earth Brigade. Bart and Lisa explain that they don't watch that show any longer because it's for babies. Upon hearing this, Maggie tosses her globe-headed action figure of Planet Jackson.
I loved little Maggie there and her sad. She still wants to play with it, but she doesn't want to be referred to as a baby, apparently.
Well, maybe learn how to not wear a diaper.
Learn to not use a pacifier.
Yeah, and say something.
Yeah, Jesus, it's been like 32 years.
Yeah.
Well, at the dinner table, we get Bart and Lisa, and they're fencing with some big asparagus spears there.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, are you a fan of the thicker asparagus or more of the skinnier asparagus?
Sometimes the girthier ones are a bit much to handle.
I agree.
But sometimes it's too thin, it's a little stringy. So you got to find just right.
You guys think we're making penis jokes, but we're not. We're actually talking about asparagus.
Yeah.
I don't like the big, thick ones.
Yeah, they're a little woody.
I can never get my mouth around the head, though, if it's too girthy.
And you keep on giving it teeth and it doesn't, nothing happens.
And now we are talking about penises.
Exactly.
So they're calling out moves from the new cartoon they've been watching. And annoyed grunt Marge calls for no karate monsters at the dinner table. And of course, Lisa corrects her mother by telling her it's a Kiya karate monsters.
That is a very real thing. Like, I know that with like my nephews and stuff, like kids, they glom onto one show. And when you get a little bit older, not much older, it makes no sense to you. Like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Or a Beyblade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. These are things that kids 20 years ago probably liked.
yeah, that was like a thing in the early 2000s.
Yeah. So as the night goes on, Marge is giving her son, who will remind you is 10, a bath. Lisa runs in with a samurai shampoo blasting Bart in the eye, to which Bart responds with a ninja throwing soap. Once again, Marge calls for no karate monsters, and once again, she's corrected, this time by Bart saying it's Kiya karate monsters.
I didn't think about that too, brought up. Yeah, he's 10 years old. I don't think my mom was bathing me at 10.
No.
I think that stops pretty,
five?
I was going to say five. Like, yeah, 10 years old. That is weird.
So, they start getting like pubes and boners.
Yeah.
And you don't want your mom around for that.
And then like Lisa coming in, like if I was 10 years old and my sister runs in while I'm taking a bath, I'd freak out.
Yeah. Also, I have to say that Marge should be happy because her kids are like bonding really well.
Right. I do like how the kids are also correcting their mom because I think it was something that as kids you would do. But, you know, like when your parents are like, oh, like you're playing G.I. Joes, and it's like, oh, you playing your army man, Steve?
Yeah. And it's like, no, they're not army men. Like wetsuit is in the Navy. So is shipwreck. And I actually prefer playing with G.I. Joes because they have cooler color schemes and there's more ninjas.
Yeah. Mom. So I think that's kind of fun. The kids are being kids, like you said. So they got to complete the rule of three, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
The family goes to the Springfield Retirement Castle where Grandpa is celebrating his birthday. And the kids made him a card with a drawing of him as a giant holding a mixed martial arts Medusa and Taekwon Dracula and beating the rest of the monsters with a Kiya written in bold font. Grandpa is concerned and Bart and Lisa continue to reenact their new favorite IP.
Did this really happen?
Tail attack! Actual sword attack!
I've had it! No more karate monsters!
Kiya!
That's it. Tomorrow we're doing something educational. We're going to the science museum.
Grandpa looking at his card.
Yeah.
Just that line reading, like, did this really? Like he's concerned, like, oh no, is the Alzheimer's kicking? Oh, I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
You'd think you'd hear a yay from Lisa about the science museum.
I know, that really kind of bothered me.
It does. It bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, they arrive at the science museum. Much to the disappointment of Marge and to the delight of Bart and Lisa, the museum is exploring the science of Kiya karate monsters. Inside, Franken Samurai has a display about elements, the building blocks of monsters. Judo Mummy is featured in How Much Would You Weigh on Planet Kiya? And the Myth Punchers feature asks, could Taekwon Dracula really fly?
We have a science museum in Oregon called, or in Portland, called OMSI.
Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
There you go. And they kind of do that same thing too. It's like, I swear, did they do like something like the science of Pokemon or something? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they did a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, they've done that. But so it's to get kids. So like, that's funny because that's...
Yeah, that's exactly what they would do.
Yeah. The science of the Simpsons. Ooh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would go to OMSI for a Simpsons exhibit.
Yeah, they could learn about nuclear power and other things.
Donut making?
Yeah.
Beer drinking?
I could teach a lesson on that. But not how to stop.
Well, there's no quitters in this dojo, Steve.
That's right.
All right. Well, Bart and Lisa break off some planted bamboo and use it to attack the erected remains of a T-Rex who's decked out in karate gi.
Sure.
Marge is relieved when they reach the Plinko-like machine teaching about the binomial distribution and the laws of probability.
As Homer praises his wife for delivering on the promise of no fun, the couple share a kiss and the kids watch a video further explaining about probability. Well, what are the odds we're going to play a clip? Pretty darn good.
Ah, hello there. I am Blaise Pascal, inventor of the probability theory. What are the odds of meeting you here? Excellent, I would say. My friend Silly Squirrel is about to buy a lottery ticket. Silly Squirrel, do you know the probability of winning the lottery?
I don't know.
Why, you are more likely to be run over by a car, or be hit by lightning, or murdered by an acquaintance. If you understood probability, you would never play the lottery.
Guys, this science exhibit told me how stupid it is to play the lottery.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you didn't buy our weekly ticket?
Are you nuts? You can't win if you don't play.
The squirrel. This is so good.
Yeah, and you know, we've had other like display things that show that similar animation of just kind of more like early 60s kind of Rocking Bullwinkle style.
Yep.
And I'm a sucker for it, and you know, all the bad things happening to Silly Squirrel. Makes me laugh.
And Dr. Nick voice, essentially. Yeah. But it was great, though.
So Homer, Lenny, Carl, and Moe turn on the TV to watch the lottery drawing. They have four lucky numbers for four best friends. Moe's number is 3, the number of siblings he Hunger Gamed in the womb. Lenny's was 19 because of the best year of his life, 1996. Carl's is 22, which he claims is for no reason at all. But as the episode goes on, we may learn otherwise.
Oh, I thought it was because he was a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Right.
That song 22 by Taylor Swift. Is this my Taylor Swift podcast?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Welcome back to Swiftly Speaking with Craig and Steve.
Hey.
What do you think of Taylor's new hairdo?
Oh, man, it made me red in the face. I knew she was trouble when she walked in. I know one album.
Well, we'll get to her newest album next week.
All now right.
Back to the Annoyed Grunt Boys present the 138 Simpsons podcast.
And Homer's contribution is 69 because people always laugh when you say 69. And according to Homer, no one knows why.
Kent Brockman, he's on the TV, Steve, and he's going to be calling out the lottery numbers. So the winning numbers are 3. Wait, that was Moe's number.
Yeah.
Next number is 19. I think that was Lenny's number.
Reminds me of 1996.
Yeah. The next number is 22. That's Carl's favorite number.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one has to be 69. And it is, which of course is Homer's.
Yeah.
And I love when Brockman says 69, he chuckles.
Yeah.
Anyways, them Springfield boys, they won the lottery.
Oh, boy.
Won a total of $200,000, giving them $50,000 apiece. But, you know, in reality, Steve, because of taxes, they'd probably like only maybe net $25,000 apiece.
Yeah. If you were to go in, let's say, I don't know, we talked about Missouri.
Because that's where Springfield's at.
Exactly. A lottery win of $200,000 would result in $142,000 after taxes, meaning that each guy gets $35,500.
I don't even get up in the morning for that kind of money.
No. The bartender and his loyal patrons are excited. Carl, especially. He wants to throw a raging party. He takes the ticket to cash it in and calls upon Homer to get the food, which Homer decides will be mini dumpsters of wings from Garbage Wings. It's a place that I feel like you would frequent if you were a Springfield resident. Moe tells Lenny to get the drinks, but when Lenny reminds the barkeep that they are already at a bar, Mo reveals that the current beverages are just gasoline and dog water. Hot dog water, actually.
Yeah, and here on the podcast, when they mention food or beverages, I like to mix up a drink or a food for Steve to try. So here we go. We got some hot dog water. Okay. I'll let you know this is 100% ballpark hot dog water.
Mm.
Yeah, and then gasoline here is premium.
Ooh, thank you for that.
Set up here and have a sip.
Yeah, better than Budweiser.
Steve, we're sponsored by Budweiser this week.
Oh, better than Coors.
And also Coors.
Better than Miller.
We're good there.
Cool.
Take this match and light it first. Now that's a flaming Mo.
Hey, that's like a party in my mouth and everyone's invited.
The four pals are so happy. Carl is nearly in tears. Really is. He must need that money for something, Steve.
Something.
Probably like a surgery, maybe? I don't know. So they share a toast to the best feel in the world. Money. And the night progresses. The party is underway with several Springfield residents enjoying a dollar sign party, hats and mini dumpster chicken wings. Looking at the people who are celebrating this. Patty and Selma are there.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird. Dr. Hibbert and his wife. We get Bumblebee Man. We got the Van Houtens. We got my girlfriend, Lindsay Nagel. There's a Pooh and Manjula. We got Miss Hoover. And is that the back of Cookie Kwan? I can't tell.
I think so, yeah.
And, oh, of course, well, who's the guy in the green hat at the bar?
Oh, is that Larry?
There's never been a voice to that character, has there been?
I don't think so.
So Homer plans to build a pool with his winnings. You must have just watched Christmas Vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marge is like, oh, an underground pool? And he's like, yeah, one that'll be so freaking far under the ground, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy's name is Sam, by the way.
Sam?
Sam.
In a bar.
Maybe he's from Boston.
Yeah. No voice to that character, though.
Nope. There's also Larry, who looks, who's a bald guy who looks...
who's depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam and Larry. All right. Let's write an episode with those two.
Alrighty. They probably did in, like, season 22.
Hey, we could do the voices for them. Who do you want to be? You know, you're probably more of a Larry. I'll be a Sam.
Yeah, that tracks. You wear hats. I have beer.
And depression.
That's me. Yeah, sure.
Lenny asks Carl about his plans to share the money, but the crowd finds that Carl's not back from cashing in that ticket.
Weird, huh? So Carl probably just got caught up in traffic, Lenny reasons, and Homer agrees. But as the night goes on, most of the party's attendees have gone home. And then Lenny, Homer, and Mo contemplate their friend's whereabouts.
I wonder what's keeping Carl.
I hope our friend wasn't in an accident.
I'm glad we're the kind of people who are worried about Carl's safety instead of thinking that he ripped us off.
I wasn't thinking that. Carl's our good friend.
Our good friend.
Yeah, good old Carl. Good old Carl's phone went straight to voicemail. Again.
The power of friendship is so amazing, I don't feel at all suspicious of Carl.
Drive faster because of the power of friendship.
Carl's gone.
Our money's gone.
We've been betrayed by good old Carl.
Guys, I think we might need a new song. Four best friends who never quarrel. Homer, Simpson, Lenny, Moe, and
no one.
The packaging for garbage wings is ingenious. Yeah. I love the little dumpsters. Like, I imagine they're all cardboard, no, but yeah, I kind of want those.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Because you got to think, like, the sauce, too. Maybe, like, you could close the flap and, like, shake it up so more sauce gets over the wings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a great idea for business. Hey, Steve, get
my
attorney to call Kaplan up and see if I can make this restaurant. Okay?
Alrighty, I'll get your blue-haired lawyer right on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carl hops on a plane, and we hop to our second act. The remaining lottery winners are searching through Carl's apartment. Mo is angry and vows to freeze Carl, chop him up into ice cubes, and scoop him into the urinal through the gathering of the Juggalos.
For those of our fans who aren't Juggalos, it is the Insane Clown Posse's weekend festival of music, mayhem, and stuff. There's a lot of wrestling. There's comedy sometimes. I know that Jimmy J.J. Walker was known to go to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I think Gilbert Godfrey opened for them once or twice.
Yeah. I will say, though, that they canceled this previous year's gathering long before the government did anything. They were more proactive than the government. There's a great book by TV critic Nathan Rabin, or Rabin, called You Don't Know Me, But You Don't Like Me. And basically, it was written like 10 years ago, but he basically goes on tour for both Insane Clown Posse and Phish. Mm-hmm. and really gets into them and learns like the culture behind them. And it's fascinating because it really humanizes both parties. So, yeah.
All right. Lenny is more hopeful that his BFF will come back. And Homer isn't sure, though, as Carl's travel bill has been removed from its pedestal.
Oh, no. It's
weird that Carl also just has a photo of himself on his wall.
That is pretty weird.
But it's like, you know, he's like smiling. It's like a driver's license photo.
Yeah. That's me. I'm Carl. Lenny, ever the optimist, believes that Carl flew to Quebec.
Quebec.
Quebec. To bring back French Canadian sugar pie. He then imagines eating it and thanking his friend. Just then, Homer sees a note on Carl's fridge addressed to the guys.
Steve, have you ever had a French sugar pie?
I don't believe I have.
Well, luckily for you.
Oh boy.
I just Googled what it was. Here's the ingredients. We got pie crust.
Yep.
We got brown sugar.
Yum.
We got some flour.
Sure.
We got evaporated milk.
Tasty.
We got an egg, lightly beaten.
Not too hard.
We got a teaspoon of vanilla.
Yum, yum.
And a quarter cup of butter.
Sure.
So that's it.
That doesn't sound horrible.
No, it's just like a sugar cookie or something.
Yeah, it's like if a cookie were a pie.
Mm. Yeah, I would totally eat the heck out of this.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of cream on top. Yeah, yep. Sounds good.
All right. We'll make it for next week's episode.
Alrighty.
And if we don't, please let us know that we failed.
Do we really need anybody to tell us that we're failures?
That's true.
So Homer reads the note, which says, "I've gone home. Goodbye forever, Carl Carlson." Lenny wonders where Carl has gone, and the three of them reconvene around the Simpsons dinner table.
Had plans for that money, too. It's going to be one of those guys who's really into hot sauce, you know? Hot sauce suspenders, hot sauce pajamas, bolo tie with a little chili pepper on it.
I still can't believe it was Carl who took your winnings. I thought it would have been you. Or you. Or you.
I know, me too. It's the ultimate screw-over.
Maybe he had a good reason to give you the ultimate screw-over.
He said he went home and his passport is gone. What country is he from?
You don't know where Carl is from?
Come on, you know how dudes are. We don't go digging into the past. We talk about guy stuff.
Like baseball and trucks and when guys lift too much weight and their bungus drops out.
You know, guy stuff.
Maybe if you talked less about guy stuff, you'd know more about your so-called friend.
Well, it don't matter no more, Midge. Carl is gone, and we're already auditioning replacements.
You're probably going to make a comment on how I want to be one of those hot sauce guys that Mo wants to be, right?
I was kind of thinking about it, yeah.
But do you really need $50,000 to be a hot sauce guy?
No, all you need is an indifferent partner.
I've dabbled into like making my own hot sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Like once.
Yeah.
That's fine.
My store has a vast collection of hot sauces.
Do you guys have Da Bomb?
We may have Da Bomb.
I've always wanted to try that because I'll watch the First We Feast YouTube chicken wing things with the host, Sean Evans. By the way, this is not sponsored content. Or is it?
Oh.
Catch it every new episode every Thursday on YouTube at First We Feast.
First We Feast, yes.
Like and subscribe. Anyways, they always have Da Bomb. And like everyone that's ever been on, it's like, can't handle that one. And it's always the second to last one they try.
I'll check tomorrow to see if we have it. I feel like we've had it before.
It's supposed to be like not good, but I need to try it to see how bad it is.
If I can get it in, I'll get you a bottle.
Okay. So the first audition is Lou the cop, who's surrounded by Homer, Lenny, and Moe. And they're just staring at him. And Lou declares that this could not be more offensive and then storms out. And appalled to see Dr. Hibbert as he tries to enter the bar, presumably to also audition to be the one black friend. Kind of like that scene. It's funny.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if Dr. Hibbert, I want to be great, you know, for them because they can probably get free medical advice.
It's true.
But he's also in Mensa. So,
yeah,
I think Dr. Hibbert, he's above those guys.
Yeah. And I don't know about Lou. Like, I don't know about his personal life, but
I like Lou.
Lou's nice, but I just feel like their drinking and his copping would not mix well.
Ooh, but that also could be an advantage.
That's true. Maybe you can get a loophole.
A loophole.
Exactly. But then, like, the other cop is going to feel bad. Eddie,
yeah.
Maybe he can
actually Wiggum, Ralph Wiggum's real father.
Right.
He's got the same hairstyle.
Exactly.
All right. Who would you rather hang out with, though?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Hibbert would laugh at my jokes, but I know that's it wouldn't good. Be genuine. Lou's pretty cool. I mean, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, but really, it's Carl. That's who I want to hang out with.
Yeah, Carl's the man.
Yep, but he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Well.
So, depressed, Lenny puts a framed photo of Carl on the bar. Moe calls to remove the picture, as he never wants to see the moolah-stealing jackpot thief ever again. But then Homer notices something. Something reflected in the lenses of Carl's sunglasses.
So Homer can't quite make it out, so he needs to get a little closer. So he chugs the beer and uses the stein as a magnifying glass. Homer then sees that Carl is looking at a geyser, and there's a sign in front of it. Initially, it's just a little too small to read, but then Lenny adds his stein, doubling the magnifying strength. But unfortunately, the text is backwards.
Oh, no.
But then Mo, he's a bartender, remember?
Yeah.
He grabs a mirror, and they learn that the sign says, Stroker Geyser.
Ooh.
How fun was that stupid scene?
It was.
I mean, it just reminds me of like the CSI shows or whatever, like Enhanced Grid A,
yeah,
section 3 of the really crappy grainy photo, and then Enhance.
Yeah. And just clears up and like the man's stealing the thing.
Those whole like things that they do, like Goldfinger, the James Bond movie.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Take a drink if you're playing the drinking game at home. I'm mentioning James Bond. In Goldfinger, like Bond is kissing a girl in the beginning of the film, and he looks in the iris of her eyes.
Oh yeah, there's somebody like coming guy. In. Yeah. So they're that ingenious, but then they go to Lisa to help look up the geyser online because they couldn't just go to a computer or their phone.
Well, it's 2013. Yeah, you should have smartphones by then, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
They learn that the geyser is one of the most famous natural wonders of Iceland, and that means that that's where Carl came from. Mo is unsure, though, if Iceland is real, and Homer assumed it was Superman cave. Is that in Antarctica?
No, the Fortress of Solitude is North Pole, isn't it?
You would know better than I.
I would always assumed it was North Pole.
Yeah, okay.
Where Santy lives.
Yeah.
Because South Pole, we got researchers down there, so he doesn't want people to see his Fortress of Solitude.
That's true.
In the original, like, comics, like, I'm talking like 30s, Superman's fortress is actually like in a mountain,
huh,
in the woods. That was it.
He's just a militia man.
Yeah, he really was. That was back when he worked for the Daily Star, not the Daily Planet.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the things that we know about Superman were mostly invented on the radio show or the TV show back in the 50s.
Because he couldn't fly initially. He just jumped a lot.
Right. He just jumped. That's why they're like able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah.
Like if you watch the Fleischer cartoons, he doesn't actually fly. He does just leaps.
Mm-hmm. And he gets winded too, which is nice. Like,
yeah. Welcome back to the Superman cast, Super Buds.
Yes.
Stephen Craig.
Let's call it a kryptonite on this episode.
And now back to the 130 Simpsons podcast.
So some trivia for you, Craig. Carl previously referenced his Icelandic childhood in season 14, episode 16. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Hey, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so there's some continuity there.
I like that because like that was probably just like a throwaway joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe
Kaplan saw it and was like, hey.
Was like, I'm going to use that. All right, that's cool.
I just called him Gabe Kaplan. He is not Mr. Cotter.
It's Eric Clapton, right?
Yeah, Eric Clapton. He posted a sign out of the building and wrote a song about it.
And is extremely racist.
Yep.
Everyone, don't forget, Eric Clapton is a huge racist. We're not making a joke. Look it up.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyways, Lisa does some more digging and finds that Iceland keeps the most detailed family records of any country in the world. She also finds that Carl's name and that he was adopted by a couple who live outside of Reykjavik.
Just remember, you got to check your neck before you wreck your neck.
Read your race.
If that's where Carl is, that's where their money is. They've got a peck. And one of the Simpsons, along with his three friends, are going to Iceland. Lenny packs a photo of Carl, along with several Carl shirts and a baseball cap with Carl's visage on it. And Mo packs a pink can with a pair of boxers and a pair of socks, then hammers the lid shut.
Hey, to be fair.
To be fair.
The Mo packing the paint can, like, those lids are tough to get off, so that's pretty secure.
It really is, and, like, even if there's, like, issues in the on the plane, it's going to stay secure.
Exactly. That just one color print of Lenny's face on a t-shirt. Do you think it was, now I know Kaplan wrote this episode, but before I did, like, the research to see if this was just, like, a staff writer, like a Matt Selman or whatever, like, I feel like it could have been, like, the writer's room, like, all right, we're having the Simpsons bid yet. Someone's like, Iceland? All right, the Simpsons are going to Iceland. Someone write it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, maybe Al Jean was, like, would have been, like, no, stop it. How about just one of the Simpsons goes to Iceland? Can we do a story there where, like, we don't have to have the family go?
Yeah, that way we don't have to lose Maggie mysteriously.
Exactly. But maybe it was just Gabe Kaplan just really likes Iceland.
Yeah, maybe he does. Where Horseshack is from.
Yeah.
So back at 742 Evergreen Terrace, Homer finds that it costs $50 per checked bag on the flight, so he can only bring one guitar on his revenge trip. He sets aside his bass and Flying V Strat aside, opting for the reliable acoustic six string, and Marge expresses her feelings to her husband.
That's so painful. I used to have a Flying V guitar.
Yeah.
Until my apartment was robbed.
Oh, I remember that. That sucks.
Yeah. Like, they didn't take my most expensive guitar, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really nice because that shit was expensive and I've had it since I was 10 years old. I used to collect guitars. Well, I used to play them too, but like, I had so many guitars. Sucks. Anyways, here's your clip.
You're going so far away. I'll miss you.
Baby, I'm going for us. That money's gonna dig us a swimming pool that'll take our broken family and make it whole.
We're not broken.
We're broken.
We're pretty broken.
How am I going to sleep if someone isn't pushing me all the way to the very edge of the bed?
I've already taken care of that.
So Homer heaves the couch onto the center of the bed. He's really strong, by the way, lifting that couch up. Yeah. Leaving
the stairs, too.
Yeah. As someone who had to take a couch from upstairs to a downstairs with... it was really tough. And it's not even a couch that's like a hide a bed. It's like a couch. It sucked. And I'm sitting on that couch right now. So I'm still depressed about my guitars from 15 years ago that got stolen.
Yeah.
You know, in that clip there, Bart and Lisa are reading Deep End and In Ground Weekly. There are two magazines for pool enthusiasts.
My subscription. Yeah.
You still subscribe to that?
Yeah, you know, just in case something happens.
You know, Deep End now is just a right-wing political pool magazine, right?
Yeah, but they make some good points, and you know, they have the latest infinity pool models, so you take some, you leave some. It's all good. So the boys take to the sky on Valhalla Air, and aboard the plane, Homer is reading Hodor's Iceland Travel Guide, Mo is reading Let's Go Get Revenge Iceland, and Lenny is just rereading the note Carl left. Oh, he can't wait to see that smile on Carl's face. He calls for the first hug, but Mo feels Lenny is being naive. He believes that Carl never wants to see them again. Angered, he pops his paint can open and takes out a pair of headphones.
Hey, so Homer's guidebook teaches that Iceland is green and Greenland is icy. Remember when we were kids in elementary school? We loved that fact.
Oh, yeah, it was the big one.
Yeah. So the names were swapped by the Vikings to trick everybody. Is that true, Steve?
Sure.
The three men laugh at the Vikings' antics, but upon arriving, they discover it's pretty damn cold in Iceland, too.
Ooh.
Because Lenny, he's only packed shorts.
Oh, no. Poor Lenny. So the boys head to the clothing store with a K for more appropriate attire. Once in their sweater, they awkwardly ask a man on the street about their former friend.
Excuse me, we're looking for our friend. He's about so tall, wears a jacket, he's got no visible tattoos.
Just say he's black, Mo.
You say he's black.
His name is Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson? His family has been hated for 1,000 years.
How do you know about Carl's family?
Our country is very small, very judgmental, and very nosy. Ingmar Ongmansen, how progresses your gonorrhea?
It heals, but slowly.
I almost thought the joke that was going to come was when Mo was like, he's about yay tall, wears a jacket, and he was like, oh, Carl Carlson.
Yeah.
And then just say he's black. Two black jokes in this episode, huh?
Yeah. And there's also like between the tennis stuff in the beginning and like some of the Iceland jokes, they're just like people who don't speak English talk funny.
I would say like problematic things in this episode that people these days would point out.
Mm-hmm.
Like us.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do.
Yeah. Even though we're like not woke at all, right?
Well, I don't know, because I worry if we can say woke, so that's how woke I am.
Why can't we say woke?
It originated as a term for black people who were more socially conscious and aware. And then it was kind of co-opted by white people as being like cool with, you know, saying pronouns and stuff. So Mo asks the man why everyone hates the Carlsons. And the man takes them to the Icelandic Museum of Natural History, where the science of Kia karate monsters will soon be shown. The trio learned from the man of the epic fail, as the museum display puts it.
A tome shows that the Carlsons were the watchmen of the coast, keeping an eye out for invading hordes and the safety of Iceland depending on the family. But the drawing shows that the Carlsons failed and the enemies invaded, laying waste to lava fields by burning their sweaters and feasting upon their tiny horses. Oh, poor horses.
Aww.
So as Mo puts it, screwing over your friends is in Carl's blood, his adopted blood.
The boys rent a Fjord Fiesta, which I thought was funny.
Great.
And head to the home where Carl grew up. 22... That's a lot of letters, although Lenny pronounces it Kior Leafstrati. And that's why 22 was Carl's lucky lottery number.
Wow.
And that's why his sweatpants say Kior Leafstrati on across the butt.
I've never seen those pants on Carl.
He only wears them around the house.
Yeah.
Also in the museum, there's a fun little visual of Bjork in her swan dress from the Emmys, or no, the Grammys from several years back.
Was it Grammy? Anyway, I thought it was Oscars.
Could be the Oscars. Oh, yeah, for Dancing in the Dark, probably.
Right.
That whimsical dress for such a whimsical movie.
It's a hilarious movie.
So fun.
Hello. See if I forgot to tell you how Bjork's on the podcast.
Oh, hey, Bjork, how are you?
I am doing well.
It's good to hear.
I heard about COVID.
Yeah, how are you holding up during these unsure times?
I'm sorry, Matt Besser, we're taking your joke.
Yeah, he's got a... Oh, no, he lost the theater. Never mind. Pay your performance. Unfortunately, it seems that Mark Maron had already been there, as someone had locked the gates. Homer, Lenny, and Mo decide to wait until somebody comes out. As Lenny and Homer fall asleep, Mo grows bored, wishing that he had something to look at. Behind him, the Northern Lights are taking place. That's right, the Aurora Borealis, at that time of day, and that part of the country, localized entirely in the night sky. Mo doesn't see it, and instead decides to reread the car rental agreement. As Mo reads on, fairies and goblins dance across the car.
I could go for some steamed hams right about now.
Mmm, steamed hams.
So the next morning, Carl is seen hugging his parents goodbye as he hops into his Mercedes and drives off.
Mm.
And the boys, not the TV show, see him and trail behind him. The chase offers the viewer to see the natural beauty of Iceland and the haunting music of Sugar Ross. Sugar Rose. How do you say their name?
Sugar Ross.
Sugar Ass. Sugar Rose plays in the background.
At first, the men think they've lost Carl, but then they see him exit a building with a suitcase. That's their money. They chase him out on foot. And after about half a block, both the chaser and the chasee are winded. Homer then hands a random man leaving his apartment some money, and he quickly tackles Carl. Homer, Lenny, and Mo take Carl to the restaurant Yuki's Gross Food, where they question him and insult the cuisine of the land.
Give us some answers or you'll get a mouthful of rotten shark fermented in its own urine.
No, no, anything but the inedible, repulsive food of my native land.
Yeah, Carl. Tell them the good reason you had for borrowing the money.
Right, look, I admit it. I gave you the ultimate screw-over. But I did it to clear my family's name. Everyone blames the barbarian invasion on my ancestors. But that saga had a missing page.
Oh, yeah. A page was torn out.
My family's always believed that we fought bravely against the invaders. And the missing page will prove it. I took the lottery money to buy that page and restore my family's honor.
Why didn't you just tell us? We're your friends.
I didn't tell you because we're not friends. Friends share their feelings, their hopes, their dreams. Friends know their friends are from Iceland. We are just guys who sit next to each other at a bar and talk about guy stuff.
So all those years of hanging out meant nothing?
Not to me.
Sorry, Lenny.
That's all right. Now we know. It's all out in the open. I guess it kind of makes it easier now for me to kill Carl!
In that clip, I like that Homer takes the urine-soaked shark.
Yeah.
Takes a bite, spits it out, and then takes another bite.
And then, like, during the fight, he just keeps eating them.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you look at, like, Mo's expression on his face, like, he just has this, like, smile on his face, like, watching his friends fight. Like, ah, oh, isn't that cute?
As Carl is choked by Lenny, Mo points out that when the nice one snaps, it's going to be a good show. And our third act begins with Lenny and Carl continuing their brawl, rolling out of the eatery and taking it to the streets, much like Michael McDonald. They trade several eye pokes when Homer and Mo each grab one of them.
Mo tries to calm everyone down, saying that they have the money. But when he opens up the briefcase, he finds that Carl had already purchased the missing page of the saga. Yeah, Lenny states that the page belongs to them, but Carl pleads with the other three to give it back so he can restore his family's honor.
Ooh. Lenny says that he'd give it back if they're friends, but as Carl previously pointed out, they're not friends. As Homer puts it, it's World War II all over again. America kicks Iceland's ass. As they leave Carl and hop on a tour bus, Homer wonders if Carl was right. Maybe they aren't just friends. Maybe they're just lonely guys who do guy stuff.
Yeah, once again, the Iceland indie noise rock band Sugar Rose plays, and they reflect upon their time together, staring blankly while
drinking at Moe's,
an Isotopes baseball game,
the barbershop,
once again at Moe's,
in line at the theater to see The Hangover.
Which, I gotta say, like, was that a joke of like their expressions, like they had no feelings after watching the movie?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, they're on a Ferris wheel.
Back at Moe's again.
An Isotopes hockey game. Hey, is this the first time of a hockey Isotopes?
Could be, yeah.
Because that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I like it. They're going fishing.
Moe's again.
In line to see The Hangover too.
With the same expression of nothing.
That's right. At a demolition derby, as a car comes hurtling towards them, everyone running out of the way, except for Lenny.
And finally at a bar. I think it's Moe's.
Oh, okay. Back on the bus, the three men share a guilty glance. Homer receives a video call from Marge and the kids. She asks if he's gotten the money back, as the kids have been stocking up on pool noodles. Homer tells his wife to put the noodles in the shed, as there'll be no pool. He then goes on to explain what had happened.
The Simpsons don't have a shed, Steve.
Maybe a lean-to.
Yeah.
Carl spent all our money on this stupid page from a stupid saga.
I say we make it into saga soup and have ourselves a soup sip.
That'll show Carl for defriending us in real life.
I know Carl did you wrong, but is destroying something he cares that much about really going to make you feel good?
Well, we won't know that till after.
Just read the saga and see what it says.
But how can we learn to read ancient Icelandic?
With these. And my doctor says it's better for me not to sleep.
So with Moe's final exam, strength, wake, ear all, stimulants, the three men spend the night learning how to read Icelandic text as the animation turns into that of text. And Homer reads the last page of the saga. And this is 2013. This is before you could take your smartphone up to... Ooh, right. Speaking of which...
Oh.
I have it paused right there on the alphabet. Let's see if that works. Of Google Translate.
Yeah. Also, not an ad, but if you... have an iPhone that comes with the default Translate app, but I would suggest downloading the free Google app. It's a superior app.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing too. Yeah, it actually, it says A, B, S. Oh, no, that's actual. it says detecting language, but let's see if it has Icelandic. It does. I have to download Icelandic.
Luckily, I already have it downloaded for some reason.
Mine just says 14BM444PY.
Yeah, I got a lot of fours.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Well, it doesn't check out. Well, you know what does check out, Steve?
What's that?
This clip.
When the barbarian invaders came, the Carlsons met them with their weapons ready.
Wow, Carl's family really was brave.
Weapons which they immediately threw down in surrender. The Carlsons then let the barbarians in the back gate and joined in the sacking, the looting, and the volcanoing of the village elders. The Carlsons then wrote down this saga so no one would ever forget their treachery and cowardice. Carl's family was even worse than people thought.
They were the original ultimate scumbags.
Carl betrayed his friends, blew the lottery money, all for nothing.
Hey, guys, I think I feel bad for Carl.
Jeg mit Frau bei Rahugman.
Come to me!
And so for those of you listeners who aren't fluent in Icelandic like Craig and I are, Homer said that he had a great idea. He calls upon everyone in Iceland to take a break from their dreary lives to get lectured by an American. The three guys ask the crowd if this is the whole population, and one Icelander says no, but when another man shows up late, it is confirmed that all of Iceland is there.
Really enjoyed that joke.
Yeah, it was fun.
So Homer tells the crowd that he's learned something about their land, and they've endured barbarian invasions, total financial collapse, and even a lesbian prime minister.
Oh, so some trivia for you, Craig. Homer talks about the market crash that occurred in Iceland, although there is a story that happened where there was a crash in real life when the Simpsons mentioned in the Bob Next Door. Homer had a loan to Iceland and it caused the whole economy to crash.
All right, well, Homer's speech continues.
You've managed to survive on a crap hole island that looks like the moon and smells like rotten eggs. And to do that, you have to be stubborn.
But I ask you to put aside your stubbornness while I tell you about Carl Carlson.
Shame on Carl's family.
The blood of 1,000 tiny horses is on their hands.
Doesn't matter what happened 1,000 years ago, for Carl Carlson's honor has been redeemed by the deeds of Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson, who helped me move, even though I moved the week before.
Oh. Yeah, and when we were painting my house, Carl Carlson brought that blue tape. You know, that makes you really look like you know what you're doing. You peel it off, and you got that super straight line there.
And when he brings a six-pack to my house, he doesn't take the extras home with him. Carl Carlson leaves them in the fridge.
Carl Carlson is our friend, even if he doesn't believe it.
If we can forgive Carl for stealing our lottery winnings, maybe yous can find it in yous' hearts to forgive his ancestors.
Steve, are you the type to take the beer home or to leave it in the house?
I would leave it in the house, but I gotta say, you're having a six pack between two guys. What are you doing? Like, where's the leftovers? Speak more to me than.
Yeah. Anyways, an Icelandic resident states that the small deeds of Carl Carlson have redeemed his family forever. So Carl runs to the family Mercedes and tells his parents that they can show their face in public again for the first time in 1,000 years.
Ooh.
So they step out of the car. Wait, are his parents 1,000 years old?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So they step out of the car, and Carl's father asks his son, "How can you say these men are not your true friends?"
Aw, Carl cries, saying that he can't. They truly are his friends, and they all share a hug. And then below the northern lights, the four friends sit in the hot springs, sharing champagne. And then back at Moe's, they share a toast as Carl thanks his pals for teaching him the true meaning of male friendship. They didn't get together to share their emotions. They got together to escape them.
You know, I'm thinking about Carl's parents. They couldn't have kids of their own.
Right.
Maybe it's like a genetic thing because maybe they're like related. Hey, that's a true thing. Look it up.
Okay.
No, like Icelandic, like.
Yeah. No, because the country's so small.
Yeah, there's a lot of inbreeding, but they don't know it. Anyways, but they also like adopt Carl. I'm really kind of curious to see like what happened to Carl's real parents.
Yeah, that's the story that I want to hear. Like,
yeah, it could be like, ooh, they should make the continuing saga of Carl, like,
yeah,
saga of Carl part two, and we can find his real parents.
Yeah, because also, did his parents flee to Iceland, or did his adoptive parents go to Springfield at one point?
Well, I'm just wondering, like, they're, you know, looking at adoption, right? Because, like, well, maybe it's the way, like, because we can adopt, other children from other countries.
Yeah,
I don't know what Iceland's adoption is like. I didn't do the research.
Craig, you really, really let us down.
Screwed the pooch on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, every episode of this podcast, I always look up adoption rights or rules for Iceland. And this is the one episode I didn't look it up.
Man.
And I can't retain that information. So, sorry.
No. What are you going to do?
Right. Nothing. Nothing. So,
Mo says he tell his buds that he loves them, but he don't want to say it and they don't want to hear it. So then they have a toast to nothing and silently sit together.
Another sad scene. Yeah, so the Simpsons are in the backyard. Homer has blindfolded Marge and the kids to reveal their brand new keg pools. That's right, it's beer kegs and they're cut in half and filled with water. And everyone takes a dip. Bart and Lisa tip Homer over, causing the keg to connect to his back, making him look like a little turtle.
Oh,
yeah. And he declares that he's going home, and like a turtle, pops his head back into its shell, and the episode ends.
Alrighty. Well, Craig, let's take a break, and we'll come back and have a little conversation about this Icelandic wonder of an episode.
Okay, bye.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we're back. Craig, let's finish our discussion of the saga of Carl with our favorite quotes or favorite tattoos or visual things, our reviews, and find out what we're watching next week.
All right. That's it.
All right.
Cool. What do you want to know?
What do you think was funny? Or first of all, what would you want to get on a t-shirt or a tattoo?
I like kind of said it. I think there's the obvious choice. The single print of the Carl's face on the t-shirts and hats that Lenny's packing, because that is pretty doable to make that as a t-shirt.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I would wear a Carl shirt.
It's nice. It's understated and quiet.
Also a huge hockey fan. I kind of want a Ice Otopes hockey sweater.
That's also very good.
Sweater itself isn't that neat looking. Yeah. I just like that they have a hockey team and they go to the hockey games.
Nice. I think I'm going to go with the tombstone of Silly Squirrel. Or maybe some of the key monsters like Krav Magalum.
Oh, you could totally do a shirt with the entire cast and crew of that cartoon.
The crew? We can get the best boy on the t-shirt? The gaffer?
The grip needs love.
And I love to grip a grip, and I'm the best boy.
How about a 10-year-old boy being bathed by his mother?
That's also an option.
All right, so Steve wants a Slappy Squirrel, and I want... Oh, not Slappy Squirrel. That's Animaniacs.
Yeah, Silly Squirrel.
There you go, Silly Squirrel. Speaking of shirts, the grandpa has the Kia birthday card. Yeah. That's actually, I want that as a poster. Have we done posters
awesome.
Yet?
Yeah, I like that. All right. We have not done posters. What were some of your favorite quotes, Craig?
Quake.
Quake. What were some of your favorite quotes? Do you like the funny TV show?
Silly Squirrel, with just his line reading. I don't know. That was great. The birthday card. I did like the reading of a grandpa saying, did this really happen? I think he did, you know, become like Godzilla sized. I don't know. What do you think? What were some of yours?
Some of my favorite things were I did like all the Silly Squirrel stuff. I thought it was just so silly and fun. And I think that Mo was probably my MVJ. Just the paint can was fun. And just like the bad English that always gets me, like, you guys can forget some too. And then Lenny and Carl are fighting and Mo goes, well, a nice one snaps. You know it's going to be a good show. I thought that was a fun line. So I think that, you know, there are some good quotes, and Mo probably is my guy for the episode.
I absolutely adored and loved the Bart Lisa stuff in the beginning of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I know we kind of mentioned it with Lisa should be excited about the science museum, but I forgive that. Like, she doesn't have to always be quote unquote nerdy all the time.
Yeah.
The sheer fact that Lisa and Bart love this cartoon, they're kids.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that you hardly ever see them to be kids again, because most Simpsons episodes, Lisa's trying to like make a point, you know, she's more adult than the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And this one you really see, like, just the fact that you take that bamboo stick and start playing, you know, karate.
Kia karate.
Sorry, Steve. Jeez. I'm giving my MVJ just to Bart and Lisa. It'll be a duo thing here. I just enjoyed that aspect of the kids. It's a really interesting episode because we mentioned the podcast, like the Simpsons have been to Iceland, so let's go there. But I think Gabe Kaplan here did something interesting, like let's focus on Homer and his buddies. And I think it's kind of an interesting like a tale because they don't really do this that much on the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's kind of weird that Barney's kind of been pushed aside. You know, we're used to Barney being Homer's friend, but just I think it's weird that Barney's not part of this like friend group. Also, Moe's gone. Where's Barney gonna go?
I know. What is he doing while they're in Iceland for a couple weeks or whatever?
Right. How long are they in Iceland? Because they have to learn Icelandic.
Yeah, Homer grows a beard practically.
Yeah, you see Homer growing a beard. But yeah, it's an interesting episode. I don't know if it's been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There's some good jokes in it. Did I hate it or like it? I don't know.
You know, it's funny because I kind of hated it, but then as is often the case, you know, talking about it and watching it with you, it was more interesting, but I'm also kind of torn by it.
And what does Carl's adoptive father look like? Stellan Skarsgård.
That's true.
I'm just looking at him right now. Then there's some kind of like jokes, like they're making fun of the Icelandic culture that like, okay, all right. Yeah. Make the stereotype jokes. I get it. But that's what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some good signage, though, like the yucky food or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. I guess the beginning, it's one of those Simpsons episodes, right? First act is awesome. And then I just don't, I would watch the first act over again.
Yeah.
As much as like, I'm not a huge fan of this episode, I would like to see the saga of Carl continue. And I want to learn about his real parents.
Yeah.
Maybe make for an interesting story. So I like what they were attempting. I liked what Gabe Kaplan was, you know, doing here. I'll give it a ranking because people like rankings. Have we ever done this before in the podcast ranking episode? Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Carl's favorite number.
Just check the ranking file.
The ranking and bass file. Yeah. Anyways, Carl's favorite number is 22. And I said, as a silly joke, that he must be a Taylor Swift fan because there's a song that she wrote called 22. But we all Swifties know that Taylor's favorite number is 13. So I'll give this episode a 13 out of 22.
All right. Yeah, this is a really interesting episode because I was immediately turned off by the when they're like watching the tennis. And I know that like the joke about watching tennis and getting horny is a thing, but like just making fun of the names, that kind of wore quickly on me. And like some of the Icelandic stuff of making fun of the names was also kind of meh. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how modern day or, you know, post 11 season Simpsons, they'll take one character and randomly make an episode around them. And that's kind of what they did here. But that didn't really bother me. You're totally right about the Bart and Lisa stuff. It was just so much fun to see them being kids and bonding together and, you know, just having this common interest that they both share and like show love. And I thought that was great. And I loved the silly squirrel stuff. As I mentioned, it was just great goofiness. But yeah, the last half of the episode or the second and third act kind of do drag. And I'm really torn about how I feel about it. On one hand, I mean, the plot is what I was kind of indifferent to, but I do like the dynamic of the guys, like the way that Lenny's relationship to Carl and always hoping for the best for him and that he's going to do the right thing. Mo just being kind of greedy and mistrusting, and Homer being kind of somewhere in the middle and just trying to find a solution. I don't know. I like the bond of that, and like that they realize that they are friends, I thought was kind of sweet. That being said, it wasn't like a hilarious episode. There were some fun jokes, but I don't know that I need to see it again. I would like to see the prequel or sequel of how Carl's biological parents came to be and where they went. But I would say that the 2020 estimated population for the whole country of Iceland is 364,134. And of that, I'm going to give this 200,000, which is also what they won at the lottery.
Hey, let's talk about that lottery real quick. We didn't really mention this. How messed up it was that Carl takes the winnings. And I know that's kind of underlining the plot, but if you think about it, like in real world situations, like if we were part of a group that did that and you found out your friends, and they of course he mentions, like, I think the underlying thing is like, do we really know much about these people that we hang out at the bar? So it'd be like us if like we were back in the days when we would hang out at the bar, you know, with other people that we only see at the bar and the lottery thing.
Like if friend A and friend B, if us and them, like we're all at the bar, we only hung out with them at the bar. Like, I don't know their life. Like nowadays you kind of do because you become like social media friends with them and then you see how they live.
But also I don't think that you with like Lenny and Carl, they're co-workers of Homer. So you would know more about them.
That's true.
And also we've seen episodes where they were friends in like high school and like kids. Remember there was like a dead body episode or something? Or I don't know.
Right. And something about the internet and it's the interlining of shorts. Yeah. Remember that joke?
It was a Carl thing. Yeah, it was a good joke.
Yeah.
Stealing money from your friends or your pal, even if they're the bar people.
Didn't even make a plan to pay it back or do anything.
But that also then proves that they are his friends because they were mad at the beginning. This episode's too sweet in a way.
Yeah, because they shouldn't have been so forgiving.
Right.
Huh. That's a good point.
Because I mean, $50,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you could buy like 5 pools with that.
Yeah.
Homer. You know, how much does an in-ground pool cost? I don't know.
Let me check my issue of Deep End Magazine.
There you go.
Why?
That's your episode. That's your magazine of Deep State Magazine.
Oh, right. I started to Google it and I actually Googled Deep End.
Like maybe an indoor pool. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's not that much at all. Well, those aren't great pools, but, you know, like a couple $1,000s, really.
Right. Unless, like, he was getting, like, an infinity pool.
Right.
Which I don't know where he'd put that and why would he need that. Steve, do you have any final thoughts for this episode or just put this in the file? Like, it's not as bad as the Great Fatsby.
No, or the Scorpion's Tail. Yeah. Rock you like a hurricane. I think it's just one of those middling episodes that, you know, you'd watch and kind of be like, And I wonder if that might have something to do with why they aired it with the season finale. because maybe it was a little weak, or you know, maybe not. I don't know. I just like, I guess it was cool to hear Sugar Ross.
Maybe you're right about that too, because you don't really have it. It's a buddy. Oh, it's like The Hangover. In a way, I mean, they reference The Hangover, the movie, so it's just a bro adventure.
Yeah,
where the family doesn't take precedent. Huh, maybe. But we also said that too, that there should be like the continuation of this story of like Carl's lineage, which would be kind of fun. Maybe this would have been better for a different TV show. That's all.
Yeah.
Gabe Kaplan wrote this for The Simpsons, but maybe this should have been a Big Bang Theory episode.
Yeah, maybe it
should have been a
Shelton
and the Indian guy go to Iceland or something. The other guy goes with them, and then Kaley Cuoco shows up.
I like it.
I should have wrote for Big Bang Theory.
Makes me laugh.
Practically writes itself. Chuck Lorre calls if you want us to write on your latest show, which is Mom still.
Well, there's, I think he has a new one. Is that one with Thomas Middleditch?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's smelled of Lorre.
Smell DeLorean. Is that what you said?
It smelled of Lorre. Although now I want to watch the Smell DeLorean.
Smell of Mandalorian. All right. Well, that's enough of this.
The Kaminsky method.
Yeah, that wins Emmys.
Yep. And that's the only thing I know about it.
Let's know about what we're watching next week.
All right. And to do that, we're going to need that Wheel of Random. Let's give it a spin to see what season we are in. Boop.
We have season 15.
Season 15. Alrighty, let's spin it to see what episode we're watching.
Episode 4.
Season 15, episode 4. Why, that's the Regina monologues. When Prime Minister Tony Blair welcomes the Simpsons to England, they run into author J.K. Rowling and actor Ian McKellen.
Yeah, he's got the vaccine now, Steve. Gross.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, she's without issue.
And we've never talked about her on this podcast, right?
I don't think so.
The Regina.
I think we like to keep it on our own turf.
The Regina monologues. It rhymes with fun.
That's right. Isn't that in Canada, though?
Yeah. I do remember this episode. How about you?
I think I do, too. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen it.
I just remember it is promoted a lot because, like, they actually got the PM at the time, Tony Blair, on Ian McKellen. Yeah. I do remember the joke, the Macbeth joke that Homer makes.
Yeah.
I even think the J.K. Rowling stuff is pretty funny, but it was written by John Swartzwelder.
Huh, what an interesting name.
Never heard of him.
No.
Directed by Mark Costco, a.k.a. Mark Kirkland. Has Mark Kirkland ever directed a Treehouse of Horror? His name should be Mark Costco.
Yeah.
That's such a dumb joke. Why did I even mention that?
Do you think he just like shows his driver's license and they're like, come on.
Yeah, right. Come on. Give me those jeans.
Those ill-fitting mom jeans.
Yeah. You ever like at a thrift store and like you're looking through the denim and like you look at the price tag, like, oh, sweet, $3.99 for a pair of jeans. Oh, Kirkland.
I'll just take the Rustlers.
Yeah. They're like, $3.99 for these Kirklands. I can get them cheaper at Costco.
That's right. And then I can grab myself a hot dog.
Hey, those hot dogs are fucking national treasures, Steve.
Hebrew national treasures.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the Regina monologues with my new co-host, Steve.
Hey, glad to be aboard.
All right. Well, hey, we got a TeePublic site, which is teepublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys for some merch. And you can always contact us on social medias of Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at 138Simpsons.
And you can email us at 138Simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite pod catching app and leave 5 stars or the equivalent. But I don't need you to write a real review. You can just write your favorite Sugar Ross song.
I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember to keep reaching for those Aurora Borealises.
And when the nice guy snaps, the show begins.